Treason, sedition, rebellion. This is the heritage of the American patriot. Those revolutionaries who stood on principle to fight against tyranny no matter the cost. And that spirit lives strong today in the activists and freedom fighters who fight against the authoritarian state. Each in their own way, each with their own mission, united for the cause.
I had the idea to run on a platform of fuck the police prior to actually winning the primary.
I mean, AOC is a drama queen and she's full of shit.
They said, you don't get to tell us no, we're in the state health department. And I said, hell no.
You brought a freaking guillotine.
People already pushing back in ways that didn't even need any votes to be cast.
I'm not ratting on anybody, and I did what I did, so you're going to have to give me what the law says you have to give.
You want to make the world a better place? Have some babies and raise them to not be stupid.
Hope I don't get canceled. Talk to you.
These are the people whose stories I'm here to share. I'm Justin O'Donnell, and this is Submersive.
Man, governments are not going to like this shit.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, activists, anarchists, and people of the internet, thanks for tuning in for another episode of Subversive. As always, I'm your host, Justin O'Donnell, and before we get started, just remember, whatever platform you listen on, whether it's YouTube Live, Odyssey, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, or on the air at LRN.fm, you can help grow the show by liking, commenting, subscribing, and sharing with your friends. If you enjoy the content, you can join the insurgency by visiting patreon.com/O'Donnell. Again, that's patreon.com/ODONNELL today. And make sure to check out snackswag.com for all your favorite subversive merch, including some brand new designs for t-shirts, hoodies, coffee mugs, and more. Again, that's snackswag.com. And you can check out the awesome new collection of official subversive merch where you can wear your principles literally on your sleeves today. And if you want to keep in touch between shows, follow me on social media and join our community Discord channel where you can chat with other fans of the show at any time. All these links can be found in the description of the video or podcast that you're listening to, so make sure you check them out today. Now, all the rage in the news this week has been about the release of the Kennedy files and historical data relating to the JFK assassination and the most prevailing conspiracy theory of our time, as people are rampantly seeking justification for validation of their theories of how bad the Central Intelligence Agency is, or the FBI and their complicitness in the assassination of President Kennedy. But before we dive in, I think it's important to talk about the history of the agency we're talking about. Because their malfeasance, corruption, fraud, and general disrespect of human freedom and liberty is in the name of transparency is nothing new and no stranger to the American people. The Central Intelligence Agency is the United States government's principal intelligence agency. It was established in 1947 by the National Security Act, which created the CIA, the National Security Council, and the Department of Defense. The CIA's primary mission is to collect, analyze, and disseminate foreign intelligence information to support the foreign policy and national security objectives of the United States. The CIA also has the mandate to carry out covert action, which refers to activities designed to influence events in other countries without the direct involvement of the U.S. government. Over the years, CIA played a vital role in a number of significant historical events, including the Cold War, Vietnam War, and the Global War on Terror. The agency's also faced criticism and controversy for its actions, including its involvement in various covert operations and its treatment of detainees in the War on Terror. But that's not the limit. And that's not even the scratching the surface of the controversy in the history of the CIA. What comes to mind are some of the more notable instances of the CIA's corruption over history, and we want to cover them one by one. The first that comes to mind is Project Mockingbird. Project Mockingbird was the CIA program that was active in the 1950s and 60s. The goal of the project was to influence the media and use it as a tool for propaganda and psychological operations. The CIA worked with a number of journalists and media organizations to plant stories and shape public opinion in support of its objectives. The project was initiated in the 1950s as a response to the perceived threat of communism and perceived lack of support for the CIA's activities in the media. The CIA worked with a number of journalists and media outlets, including major newspapers and television networks, to disseminate information and propaganda. Project Mockingbird was eventually exposed in the 1970s as part of the Watergate scandal and was subject to numerous investigations. The CIA was criticized for its manipulation of the media, and the project was eventually shut down. However, the full extent of the project and the extent of the CIA's influence on the media are still not fully understood. And the CIA's relationship with the media has long been a controversial topic and raised questions about the role of the intelligence community in shaping public opinion and the integrity of the media. Project Mockingbird is just one example of the CIA's efforts to influence media and highlights the complex and sometimes controversial relationship between our intelligence communities and the media that we rely on to provide us with information and news. Another controversial program in the CIA's rich history is one of popular thought and often referenced in pop media. It's the MKUltra program, a covert research program conducted by the Central Intelligence Agency in the 1950s and 60s. The program was aimed at developing mind control techniques and included a range of controversial experiments on human subjects, including the use of drugs, hypnosis, and other forms of psychological manipulation. The MKUltra program was inspired by the work of CIA scientists who studied the use of mind-altering drugs, such as LSD, by the Soviet Union and other countries. The CIA believed that these drugs could be used to control individuals and sought to develop similar techniques for the use in intelligence gathering and other operations. The MKUltra program involved a range of experiments, including the use of LSD and other drugs on unsuspecting subjects, as well as the use of hypnosis and sensory deprivation to alter mental states. Many of the subjects of these experiments were not aware that they were participating in a research program, and some were given the drugs without their consent. The MKUltra program was eventually exposed in the 1970s and was the subject of numerous investigations and lawsuits. The CIA was criticized for its unethical treatment of its subjects, and the program was eventually shut down. However, the full extent of the MKUltra program and its effects of the experiments on those subjects are still not fully understood, and the conspiracy theories surrounding the scientists and those who participated in running the program and many of their untimely suicides and our early deaths leads to even further conspiracies about that program. One that may be more familiar to a younger generation is the CIA's history of torture and rendition scandal. After the attacks of September 11, 2001, the CIA was accused of using torture and other forms of abuse to interrogate terrorism suspects. The agency was also accused of operating secret detention centers, known as black sites, and transporting subjects to other countries, known as extraordinary rendition, where they could be subject to torture. The use of torture by the CIA was revealed in a 2014 report by the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. The report found that the CIA had used a range of enhanced interrogation techniques, including waterboarding, sleep deprivation, confinement in small spaces on suspects in its custody. These techniques were deemed to be torture by many human rights groups and were in violation of international law. The use of extraordinary rendition involved the transfer of a suspect from one country to another without due legal process. That was also criticized. Many of these suspects who were subject to extraordinary rendition ended up being held in countries with a long and storied history of human rights abuses, such as Egypt or Syria. The CIA has been accused of using these countries as a way to bypass laws against torture and other forms of abuse. The use of torture and extraordinary rendition by the CIA was highly controversial and sparked widespread outrage. Many argued that these practices were not only inhumane, but also ineffective in gathering reliable intelligence. The revelations about the CIA's use of torture also damaged the reputation of the United States and its standing in the international community. Libertarians might be more familiar with the Central Intelligence Agency's domestic surveillance programs. They've been accused of conducting these programs without proper oversight or legal authority. In 2013, Edward Snowden revealed that the agency, along with the NSA and other domestic partners, was collecting the phone and internet records of millions of Americans as part of its foreign intelligence gathering efforts. These programs were authorized under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, the FISA, and the Patriot Act, which were passed by Congress in response to the 9/11 attacks. The Patriot Act expanded the powers of the intelligence community to conduct surveillance and gather intelligence on individuals within the United States. However, many people were unaware of the extent of the programs and were concerned about their potential abuse. Some argued that the programs violated the Fourth Amendment rights of the U.S. Constitution, which protects citizens from unreasonable searches and seizures. The revelation of the domestic surveillance program sparked a national debate about privacy, security, and the role of the intelligence community. Some argued that programs were necessary to protect national security, while most maintained that they infringed on the privacy rights of American citizens. In 2015, Congress passed the USA Freedom Act, which reformed domestic surveillance programs and imposed additional safeguards to protect civil liberties. And the domestic surveillance scandal was a significant controversy for the CIA and raised questions about the balance between security and privacy, and also highlighted the need for greater transparency and oversight in the intelligence community and the impact of the Patriot Act on civil liberties. Now, one thing we love to talk about is the CIA's rich and robust long history of engaging in coups or the overthrow of governments through illegal and covert means. Coups have been a key tool of U.S. foreign policy and the regime change, and have been used to install friendly governments or to undermine governments deemed hostile to U.S. interests. One of the earliest examples of CIA involvement in a coup was the 1953 Iranian coup, in which the agency played a role in orchestrating the overthrow of Iranian Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh. The CIA worked with British intelligence to organize a propaganda campaign and fund and train Iranian opposition groups. The coup was successful and resulted in the reinstallation of the Shah, who ruled Iran until the 1979 revolution. CIA has been involved in a number of other coups around the world, including the 1954 Guatemalan coup, 1960 Congo crisis, 61 Bay of Pigs invasion in Cuba. These actions were often carried out in secret and were justified as necessary to protect U.S. interests or to promote democracy and stability. However, CIA's involvement in coups has also been highly controversial and has been criticized for undermining democratic governments and violating international law. Many of these actions have had long-lasting consequences and have contributed to instability and conflict in the countries where they have occurred. The CIA's history of engaging in coups highlights the complex and sometimes controversial role the agency has played in U.S. foreign policy. Just a brief overview of some of these coups. In Iran, 1953, the CIA played that role, overthrowing the prime minister who had nationalized the country's oil industry. It all comes back to oil. The CIA worked with British intelligence using propaganda and misinformation, and the coup was successful. In Guatemala, in 1954, the CIA helped overthrow the government of Jacobo Arbenz, who had implemented land reform policies that had threatened the interests of the United Fruit Company, a major U.S. corporation. The CIA supported a military coup that toppled Arbenz and installed a military dictatorship, one that was more friendly to U.S. corporate interests in the country, using the violence and force of the state to prop up fascist gains. Congo in 1960, the CIA supported the secession of the mineral-rich province of Katanga from the newly independent Congo. The move was backed by Belgium's interests, and the CIA provided logistical support and funding to the Katanga secessionist movement and worked to undermine the government of Congo's prime minister, Patrice Lumumba. Lumumba was eventually captured and killed, and then the CIA was later accused of playing a role in his assassination. 1961, in Cuba, the CIA played a key role in the failed Bay of Pigs invasion, which aimed to overthrow the government of Fidel Castro. The CIA trained and funded a group of Cuban exiles to invade Cuba in an attempt to spark a popular uprising against Castro. However, the invasion was a disaster and ended in abject failure. Indonesia, in 1957 and 58, the CIA supported a military coup that toppled the government of Indonesian President Sukarno and installed a military dictatorship. The CIA provided funding, weapons, and other support to opposition groups and worked to undermine Sukarno's government with propaganda. Chile, in 1973, the CIA played a role in the overthrow of the Chilean president, Salvador Allende, who was the first democratically elected socialist leader in Latin America. As part of the war on communism in the Cold War, the CIA provided funding and support to his opposition groups and worked to destabilize Allende's government through subterfuge and sabotage. Allende was eventually overthrown in a military coup and replaced by the military dictator Augusto Pinochet, renowned for his brutalism. Afghanistan, in the 1980s, the CIA provided funding, weapons, and training to the Mujahideen, a group of Afghan rebels fighting against Soviet-backed government in Afghanistan. The CIA's support was part of a larger effort to undermine the Soviet Union and was a key factor in the Soviet withdrawal from Afghanistan and a few years later, the dissolution of the Soviet Union entirely. However, this is one of the clearest examples of backlash and backfiring plans, as the Mujahideen later went on to become an enemy that occupied 20 years of warfare and cost thousands of lives and trillions of dollars for the American taxpayer. In the 1980s in Nicaragua, the CIA supported the Contras, a group of rebels fighting against socialist Sandinista government in Nicaragua. The CIA support was, again, part of a larger effort to undermine the Sandinistas, and their financial and arms support was funded largely through drug smuggling and taking advantage of the fast-growing drug crisis in the United States, importing cocaine to pay for these weapons. In 2003, the CIA provided intelligence to support the U.S. military in the invasion of Iraq, which led to the overthrow of Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein. The CIA's intelligence was later revealed not just be flawed, but entirely fabricated, with several whistleblowers coming forward to show that they were simply playing a role to justify the invasion, and it had nothing to do with weapons of mass destruction, yellow cake, or other perceived threats posed by Iraq, which had no involvement in the 2001 attacks on the World Trade Center in New York. In the 1960s in Laos, the CIA played a significant role in the secret war, providing funding, weapons, and other support to the Hmong, a minority ethnic group fighting against communist Pathet Lao. And the CIA's support was, again, part of a large effort to contain communism in Southeast Asia, not just to undermine it, but the war against the domino effect. It was a key factor in Laos's succeeding civil war, which again cost hundreds of thousands of lives. Vietnam, 1950s to 1975, the CIA provided intelligence and logistical support to South Vietnam, working to undermine communist North Vietnam and the Viet Cong. They also conducted a number of covert operations, including the Phoenix Program, which targeted suspected Viet Cong operatives for capture or assassination, no due process, and entirely extrajudiciary. In 2001, after the 9/11 attacks, the CIA played a key role in the U.S. invasion of Afghanistan, which led to the overthrow of the Taliban government. The CIA has also been involved in ongoing conflicts in Afghanistan, providing intelligence, logistical support for the U.S. military and the Afghan government, as previously discussed, often using extrajudicial, inhumane practices such as torture and rendition. In Syria in 2011 to present day, the CIA has been providing funding, weapons, and other support to opposition groups and moderate rebels against the Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, who, while he may be a radical to the U.S. government's interests of an oil pipeline to the Mediterranean, he's by all means a moderate ruler in the Middle East. The CIA's support has been part of a large and ongoing sustained effort to undermine Assad's government, and it's been a key factor in the country's ongoing civil war, which has created a humanitarian crisis and led to millions of refugees fleeing the constant struggle. And it's also led to the offshoots of these moderate rebel groups using CIA support to become larger terrorist organizations such as ISIS, which rekindled war and conflict in northern Iraq and the rest of the Middle East. In Venezuela, from 2002 to the present, the CIA has been accused of supporting opposition groups and attempting to overthrow the government of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. The CIA has denied these allegations, but there have been numerous reports of CIA involvement in efforts to destabilize the Maduro government through subterfuge, sabotage, covert operations, and propaganda and information. In 2014, there were allegations of CIA involvement in the Ukrainian Revolution, which toppled the government of President Viktor Yanukovych. Some reports suggest the CIA provided funding and other support to opposition groups, as well as a key role in orchestrating the overthrow of Yanukovych through strict manipulation of the media and the television and the information available to young children. Known as the Maidan Revolution in 2014, it was the precipitating conflict in severing ties between the Ukrainian government and Russia, which has led to an ongoing hot war, with Russian troops having invaded Ukraine in response to Ukraine using military action against separatists in eastern regions who are largely ethnically Russian and wanted to join Russia. Well, we've seen what the CIA is capable of in foreign countries and in foreign states, and nobody doubts it. What we fear is what the CIA is capable of domestically, here in the U.S. Not enough people know about Operation Northwoods, a proposed CIA program that was supposedly never implemented. There was a plan to create fake terrorist attacks and blame them on Cuba in order to justify a U.S. invasion of the country. The plan was developed in the early 1960s and was presented to the Kennedy administration as a way to counter the perceived threat of communist expansion in the Western Hemisphere. Operation Northwoods involved a range of covert actions, including the creation of fake terrorist incidents such as bombings and hijackings that could be blamed on Cuba. This plan also included proposals to create fake evidence, such as planted weapons, fake documents, potentially maybe passports that would survive the crash into a skyscraper, and to support the notion that Cuba was behind the attacks. Operation Northwoods' plan was ultimately rejected by the Kennedy administration and was not implemented, which may come back to haunt them. It was later revealed in the 1990s as part of the investigation into the assassination of President Kennedy. The existence of the plan sparked widespread outrage and raised questions about the integrity of the intelligence community and the use of propaganda to shape public opinion. Operation Northwoods is just one example of the CIA's involvement in propaganda and psychological operations, and highlights the complex and extraordinarily controversial role the agency has played in U.S. foreign policy. It's a reminder of the potential for intelligence community to engage in deceptive and manipulative tactics in the pursuit of its objectives. And it's raised a number of concerns with conspiracy theorists and truthers in recent years, in the past 20 years. If perhaps the attacks of September 11th, 2001 in New York City and Washington, D.C., were simply an implementation of the Operation Northwoods strategy to justify the invasion of Afghanistan to clean up the mess created by the CIA's earlier involvement in support of the Mujahideen, which became the Taliban. Or perhaps it was the impetus for the November 22nd, 1963 assassination of President John F. Kennedy, which remains one of the most enduring mysteries of the 20th century and has spawned a wide range of conspiracy theories. One of the more persistent conspiracy theories is that the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA, was involved in JFK's assassination in some way, manner, shape, or how. The CIA conspiracy surrounding JFK's assassination has a number of different strands, each with its own set of supporters and detractors. And for just a brief overview of what the CIA's potential motivations could have been, one of the prevailing ones is that the CIA was motivated by JFK's foreign policy. JFK was a vocal critic of the CIA, and he had plans to reform the intelligence community, which may have been seen as a threat by some within the agency. JFK's foreign policy was focused on improving relations with the Soviet Union, reducing the threat of nuclear war. He pursued a number of initiatives to achieve these goals, including the signing of the Nuclear Test Ban Treaty and the establishment of a hotline between Washington, D.C. and Moscow. And these initiatives were seen as controversial by some in the intelligence community and may have been perceived as a threat to the CIA's operational interests. Or perhaps they were motivated by JFK's plans to withdraw from Vietnam. And they were heavily involved in Vietnam, and President Kennedy had plans to withdraw from the conflict. And some people believe that the CIA may have opposed these plans and may have been motivated to kill him in order to prevent that withdrawal. The CIA's heavy involvement in the Vietnam War was in pursuit of its own interests and its own agenda. The agency had been involved in covert operations in Vietnam for many years, and they may have feared the withdrawal would compromise their ability to influence events in the region. And yet more people believe that at the very least, the CIA was involved in a cover-up of what really happened in Dallas on that autumn day. Whether that was altering and destroying evidence, as some people have suggested the CIA may have altered or destroyed the evidence to obscure truth about JFK's assassination. This could just include tampering with physical evidence such as bullets, shell casings, or altering or destroying documents or other records. Some have suggested that the CIA might have disseminated false information about JFK's assassination in order to confuse and mislead people about the true circumstances of the crime. This could include planting false stories in the media or providing false information to the investigators. And some have suggested that the CIA may have used propaganda techniques, such as Project Mockingbird, to promote conspiracy theories about JFK's assassination in order to distract attention from true circumstances of the crime. This could include spreading misinformation or using psychological operations to manipulate public opinion. But for decades, that information remained redacted, classified, but under constant demand for release. And in response to public demand for more information about the assassination, the U.S. government has released a large number of documents related to the case over the years. However, most of the documents related to the assassination remain classified and unreleased to the public until very recently. One of the most well-known examples of these classified documents related to JFK assassination is the collection of files known as the JFK Assassination Records. These files include a wide range of documents, including FBI and CIA reports, witness statements, and other materials related to the investigation into JFK's assassination. The JFK assassination records were initially classified and sealed for national security reasons, but in 1992, Congress passed the JFK Assassination Records Collection Act, which mandated the release of all government records related to the assassination. As a result, a large number of JFK assassination records were declassified and released to the public. However, some of the records remain classified and have not been released to the public. These Files considered restricted or withheld are typically classified on the grounds of national security or personal privacy. And in some cases, the documents may be withheld because they're part of an ongoing investigation or because they contain sensitive information that could compromise national security, according to those we trust so much. The classification of JFK's assassination records has been an ongoing source of controversy for many years and has fueled conspiracy theories about the assassination. Some people believe that the classification of these documents is in and of itself an attempt to cover up the truth about the circumstances, while others argue that it is necessary. It will likely remain a controversial topic for many years to come. And while that 1992 law required that all the documents pertinent to the investigation into JFK's assassination be released by 2017, a large number remained classified and held in secret, despite an executive order from then-President Donald Trump ordering their release. However, this past Thursday, December 15th, 2022, President Joe Biden signed a new executive order authorizing the release of the remaining documents. And the U.S. National Archives published some 13,173 files online. JFK's death spawned decades of conspiracy theories. But on Thursday, the CIA reported that the U.S. spy agency had never engaged Lee Harvey Oswald and did not withhold information about him from U.S. investigators. Longtime JFK academics and theorists have hoped the latest release would reveal more information about Oswald's activities in Mexico City, where he met a Soviet KGB officer in October of 1963. In its latest statement, the CIA said that all information held by the agency relating to his trip to Mexico City had previously been released, adding there is no information on this topic in the 2022 release. But researchers with the Mary Farrell Foundation, a nonprofit that sued the government to release the files, said that the CIA was still withholding information about Oswald's time in Mexico. The foundation has said that some CIA records were never submitted to the archives and therefore not part of the batch just released. The lingering question of them in the minds of many is, what will we learn in the coming months as journalists, investigators, and conspiracy theorists pore over the thousands of newly released and newly unredacted documents? And will it answer the question ringing in everyone's head? With such a rich history of corruption, assassination, and general disrespect for human rights and transparency, will new evidence be released that show that the CIA was involved in the assassination of President Kennedy? Or at the very least, were they aware of Lee Harvey Oswald's intentions and simply guilty by inaction? Only time will tell, and only information and documented history will show the truth in time. But one thing can be certain, that regardless of what information is or is not withheld or released, the CIA is a known subversive entity that cannot be trusted to protect the freedoms of the people of this planet. That's all for this time, folks. I look forward to diving in when more information has been released and collated. But until then, and until next time, be free. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Subversive. Make sure to like, subscribe, and turn on notifications to get alerted every time we go live on YouTube. And make sure to leave some comments and reviews on whatever platform you listen on to let me know what you thought of this episode. And a huge thanks and shout out to our sponsors and the awesome members of the Insurgency on Patreon. If you enjoyed this content, you can join the Insurgency on Patreon by following the links in the description for patreon.com/odama. And if you can't catch the show live, you can always catch it the next day on YouTube, Odyssey, Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, CastBox, and wherever else you listen to your favorite podcasts every day. So until next time, everybody, be free.